We begin the current daf Masechta Nedarim, daf Mem Vav. We begin on the top of the Amud, where we continue the discussion of the Mishnah, which began on the previous daf, beginning the fifth parak of Masechta Nedarim, parak HaShutafen. So the Mishnah was speaking about the continuation of the theme of the previous parak, discussing when one person takes a neder, forbidding himself hanav from somebody else. Now specifically, the Mishnah opened up with the case, which is the title of the parak, regarding partners. When each partner took a neder, forbidding hanav from the other one, so therefore we had a machlekes. The Kama said, so therefore none of them could go into the courtyard, because as we explained in the previous daf, they hold ein breira, so therefore it's not clear whose part is which, and therefore you can't go into any part of the field. Whereas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov held that, no, yesh breira, and hence, I'm going into my part, and you're going into your part, because although each one obviously doesn't own all of it, but we could say that right now, when I'm in it, 100% of it is mine, and 0% is yours. And when you're in it, then 100% of it is yours and 0% of it is mine, and you're having hanav from your field. So though it's a partnership, but when you're having hanav, it's your field. When I'm having hanav, it's my field. Now on that, the Mishnah continues with that same case about when shutfen are take a neder of hanav from each other, and then it discusses different variations of that, and then it resumes the discussion the previous parak regarding when a person takes a iser hanav as a neder from somebody else. So the Mishnah tells us, Vishneam Asurim, now both these partners that took a neder of Hanav forbidding each other from pleasure, they're forbidden Lahamid Rechaim from putting a mill, or Vatana, or an oven, or Lagalatar Nagoilim, or bringing up chickens in their shared courtyard now. Now, as the Rana explains, although the Gemara says in Pericheskes Abatim that partners are generally not particular about what's called Hamod, about putting things in their shared courtyard, but if they would be particular, then they could stop each other. Now, although generally those types of things are what's in the category of vitor, where although they could be particular and stop the other partner, generally people, they just look the other way. It doesn't bother people. But as we explained already on the previous stuff in the beginning of the Mishnah, that the town of this Mishnah holds that vitor, things which are generally just looked away by most people and people don't care, like drisus regal, like walking in the person's yard or putting things in the shared courtyard, by a mudr hanav, that's going to be forbidden. Because since they specifically said, you can't have any hanav for me, that will include even things that people usually don't care about, but ultimately is giving hanav from one to the other. And therefore, none of the partners can put these stuff in the shared courtyard. Now, the Mishnah continues a variation of this case. Let's say, hoye echad mehem mudr hanav mechaver. Let's say in this shared courtyard, unlike the first case we just spoke about, when they both take a neder from each other, let's say one of the partners takes the iser neder from being forbidden from his friend. So the halacha is lo yikanes lechatzer. Tanakama holds, as they hold regarding the first case, that therefore now he can't come into the courtyard. Whereas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, like he said regarding the first case, yachuhu loy mla, yes, this partner who took a neder forbidding himself from the other partner can still go into the field because he could tell the other partner, lotech shali ani nechnes, I'm going into my field. And I'm not going into your field. Now, as the Ram points out, this part of this case is not necessarily to say, not for the opinion of the Rabbanan, and not for the opinion of Elazar ben Yaakov. Because both, according to either one of the opinions, there shouldn't be any difference if both partners took a neder forbidding from each other, or one of the partners took a neder forbidding him from the other partner. Either way, it's going to be totally in their machlekes, as we explained in the previous daf, regarding if you say yesh brera or ein brera. If you say yesh brera, like Elazar ben Yaakov, then just like two partners, so to one partner, you could go into the field. If you hold ein brera, like the Tanakama, then whether two partners or one partner, whoever it is that took the nether, cannot go into the field. Then now the reason why we quoted this case, instead of two partners but one partner taking the nether, was for the end of this halacha, where the Mishnah tells us, but v'kaifin es ha-noidr limker es chalkai, that we force the one who took the nether to sell his part of the field. Now, that's specifically in this type of a case when only one of the partners took the nether. And the reason being is because since he's forbidden to go into the courtyard now, but his friend is permitted, so we're concerned that he might be jealous of his friend and he might end up using the field too because, well, he's using it, I also want to use it. Therefore, we're concerned that he might stumble and violate the iser neder of going into the field. So therefore, we force him to sell it. But when both partners make a neder forbidding each other, then they're both going to be aser, and therefore we're not concerned because each one is going to be careful in his iser. And the Ran says, so too, if let's say someone himself makes his own nechasim forbidden on himself, for that same reason, we don't force the person to sell it because it's only by partners where one of them took the neder and the other one didn't, Now he's going to be jealous of the other partner. So we're not concerned that if a person makes a neder, that he's going to violate the neder. So if someone makes his own field as a neder forbidden, he doesn't have to sell it. And so too, when two partners, each one does the neder, that none of them are going in, so no one's jealous, so we're not concerned they're going to violate. But when one of them takes the neder, and so therefore one partner is using the field and the other one's not, he's going to be jealous, he might end up using it, thus violating the neder. So therefore, we force him to sell it. Now, the Ram points out that even according to Elazar ben Yaakov, who seemingly this halacha shouldn't apply to him, because he allows the partner who took the neder to go into the courtyard, still that halacha applies even according to him, and that we do force him to sell his portion. The reason being is because this same concern of jealousy applies even according to him. And the reason being is because since he sees his friend not just walking in, because he could also walk in, but he sees his friend putting his mill there and his oven there, and he's not allowed to. So therefore, he's going to be jealous, and he's going to come to do the same thing. Now, the Ran explains this. He says, now, if you're going to say that this halacha makes sense according to the Rabbanan, that they say that neither partner, or like in this case where it's only one of them, he can't even walk into the field, so it's very well understood why we force him to sell his part, because maybe he's going to be jealous because he is walking all over the field and he can't even walk into the field. And he can't protest regarding his friend coming into the field. But the question is, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, it shouldn't bother him that his friend is walking into the field because he's also allowed to walk into the field. Now, moreover, even though the Ran just explained, regarding being jealous of his friend who, okay, not just walking into the field, he could walk into the field, but regarding putting in the mill, that, the Ran wonders, according to Elazar ben Yaakov, every partner, regardless of this context of Nedarim, can stop his partner from putting in the mill or an oven into the field, into the shared courtyard. And that's because that's included in the halacha of Shutfin could be Ma'akev. So the question is, even that we're saying this halacha of V'kaifin esanoi delimka eschalke applies even according to Elazar ben Yaakov, so we said that's difficult because regarding walking in, he actually lets him go in. As he says, Yachul Olam al-Lutayach Shalayad Nenichnas. So in that, the Ran said, okay, fine, but the difference is regarding he can't do everything like the partner because he can't put in his mill and the other partner could, and he's going to be jealous of that and he might come to do the same. On that, the Ran asks, what do you mean? He can stop his friend from putting in and then there won't be any jealousy. There's two ways of fulfilling your jealousy, either doing the same thing or stopping that person so no one does it. So therefore, the Ran wonders, why according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would you be forced to sell your part? There won't be jealousy because you could stop him from putting in his mill. So Mataran says that you could say that since generally partners are not particular about him putting stuff into the courtyard because we share it. You could put in your mill, I put in my oven. So therefore it's embarrassing, it's degrading to stop the partner from allowing him to put his stuff in. Now the reason for this is, as the Gemara will explain, that the halacha of this seifa is talking about actually when both of them are forbidden, is that when each one took the neder themselves, forbidding him from the other one. Not that the other one made him forbidden. He took the neder from the other one. Now, therefore, the Ran says that since his friend didn't cause him to be forbidden to utilize the entire field, rather it's he himself that caused it, so then why would he stop his friend from something that partners are not usually particular about? And therefore, to stop his partner from using it in the normal way that partners usually use it would be embarrassing. And therefore, you're back to the problem. Since his friend is going to be putting his mill in there, he's going to be jealous, and he's going to say, I want to do the same thing. And he cannot, because as the Rishonim explain, although there is the halachic concept of Yesh Breira according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov allows him to go into the field because it's his field, on that they explain Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would agree that putting in a mill or an oven or these types of things in the field are different, because since Shutfin are allowed to stop each other partner in any situation from putting these things in, therefore, it would undeniably be considered like he is giving the other partner pleasure, and that wouldn't be included in the concept of Yesh Breira. So even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov would hold that that would be usher in all circumstances, and since he cannot do it, and the other partner could, again, he's going to be jealous, and he's going to want to do the same thing, and therefore, he might come to violate the neder. So since he's the only one that took the neder, even according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, we would force him to sell his part. Now, another step in this Machlekes is a different case. Let's say there's two partners, and none of the partners took a neder, but there's some other person, what's called someone from the marketplace, an unrelated person. that's forbidden as a neder to have enough from one of these two partners. So again, the Tanakhama says, Lo yikonis l'chatzar, he's not allowed to come into the courtyard. Now, as the Ram points out again, this case is definitely not necessary for the opinion of the Tanakhama, because according to Tanakhama, it's obvious. Because if the partner can withhold the allowance of the other partner from coming into the field, well, then most definitely some unrelated person for sure wouldn't be allowed to come into the field, again, because of the Isser Neder. Because even if a partner is forbidden based on a Neder, for sure someone else. The only reason why the Mishnah brings down this case is to tell us a Chiddush in Rebbe ben Yaakov. That Rebbe ben Yaakov, I mean, he says, Yochel Loimelay, no, this unrelated person from the marketplace could tell that person, one of the partners that he's forbidden to have enough from, L'tech shel chavecha ani nichnas. I'm coming into your friend's field. I'm not coming into your field, and that is that even regarding someone else from the marketplace, the partner who there is an Isser Neder from him to have enough from can't hold him from coming back because of this chiddush of Yesh Breyer, which says that for now it's not your field, I'm coming into his field, which on some level it's 100% his and not yours at all. Now, actually, the Ram points out that towards the end of the Sugya he'll explain how, although we just said that the only chiddush of this case is in Rav Lezer ben Yaakov, that he'll actually illustrate that there is a chiddush in this halacha, even according to the opinion of the Rabbanan. Now, however, he brings from the Rashba that this that we're allowing, according to Rav Lezer ben Yaakov, for this random person to come into the field, is only when he's coming in to meet the partner, whether if the partner needs him or he needs the partner, the one that he's permitted to. And the reason being is because the courtyard is acquired 100%, to each one of the partners for whatever it is that they need. So at that point, based on the concept of Yesh Brei, we could say that it's not your field. I know I'm forbidden to have enough from you and including your field, but I'm coming into his field. But for him to come in for his own needs, not for the needs of the other permitted partner, then it's going to be Asr, because although the halacha is that each one has 100% of the field for what they need when they need it, but that wasn't for any random person. And therefore, if the person does have an Isser Neder from one of the partners, then that wasn't part of the concept of Yesh Breyer to allow some other person to say that it's not that person that's forbidden for him to have an offer, but the other one, the Rashba says, only if he's coming for the other person, then we'll view it based on Yesh Breyer, that it's that other person's and not the one that he's forbidden to have an offer from. Now the Mishnah resumes the discussion, which was from the previous parak, this halacha of Hamudr Hanoa Mechaver. So if someone's forbidden to have an offer from his friend, now, v'yeshli merchatz ubeis habad. Now, the mother, the one who's the vow, the one that he's forbidden to have anof from, has a bathhouse or an olive press. Now, however, they're muskarin ba'ir. It's his, which obviously he would then be forbidden to have anof from it, but it's rented out in the city. So someone else is renting it from him. So what's the halacha? So the Mishnah says it depends. Im yeshloi behen tfisas yad. If the mother has what's called a tfisas yad, which literally means to say, a grabbing of his hand. Now, then it's going to be awesome. And that is, as the Gemara will explain exactly what is a tefisas yad, what is the measurement of a tefisas yad. But in such a case, the mudra is going to be forbidden to have enough from that bathhouse and from the olive press. And the reason being is because since the vower still has a sheer hold in that bathhouse, so it's like his. So you're forbidden to have enough from it because he still has a sheer in that. Now that's if he has tfisis yad. But ein loy ben tfisis yad mutter. But if he doesn't have any tfisis yad anymore in this bathhouse, so the olive press, then it's permitted, because that means to say then the person who's the mutter is not having enough from him, but rather from the one who's renting it from him. Now the Rashba writes that this in the Mishnah says that when he doesn't have a tfisis yad, it's going to be permitted from have enough from his bathhouse because it's rented out to someone else. That's only if it was rented out beforehand. But if he rents it out to someone after he already made the neder, then it's actually going to be forbidden. And the reason is because although the Mishnah right now is going to say a different case of when someone says to someone else that I'm forbidden based on the neder to come into your house, and then the Mishnah says that if that person dies or sells it to someone else, then it's going to be permitted. So we see that once it leaves his domain, although he made a neder that he's forbidding himself to come into his house, it's only when it's his house. But when he gives it over to someone else, it's permitted. That's only when he makes a sale. But when he rents it out to someone else, then it's not going to be permitted. And the reason being is because if even renting was permitted, then the Mishnah, in the next case, should have said even a bigger chiddush. It should have said, forget about if he dies or sells it off. even if he just rents it to someone else, it's going to be permitted. And then we would know for sure that the case would apply so too by sale, which is more absolute than just renting it out. So rather, the Rashba proves from the next case of the Mishnah that it's only that if the neder was before he rented it out, then the isser of the neder does not get removed by just renting it out. But when the Mishnah in our case is talking about that it was rented out beforehand and then he made the neder, and therefore when there's no tefisas yad, so now there's no isser that could take effect in it because it's already rented out. So it's not his, it's rented out. And now that he makes the neder, since he doesn't have any shear in it, so that's not his things that would make that mudr forbidden to have enough from that. But again, but if he had first made the neder, and therefore his bathhouse is forbidden, and now all he did now was rent it out, that's not enough for moving it from his property. You would need something like a death or like sale, which is more absolute in cutting off his relationship with this bathhouse or this olive press. Now, the Mishnah continues with this following case that we just mentioned. Someone tells his friend, "Kainim lebeis l'shani nechnas," as an iser neder of the, on your house, if I'm going to enter it. In other words, regarding to my entering in it, there is an iser on your house because a neder has to take effect on an object. So the iser is on your house if I'm going to enter in, meaning that there's an iser neder for me to come into your house. So to v'sat l'shani lekech regarding your field that I'm going to buy. In other words, if I buy it, then there's an iser neder on your field for me, meaning to say that he can't buy it. Now, if now that person who he was forbidding himself from his house or from his field dies or he sells it to someone else, then mutter is going to be permitted. And the reason is because he said, your house. Now that he's dead or sells it to someone else, it's not his house anymore. Now, the truth is, Duran says the same thing would apply if he gives it to someone else. It would also be permitted. Now, the only reason why he picked this case of selling is to say that it's only if he sells it to someone else. But if he said that I'm forbidden to come into your house and then he sells it to him, then it would be forbidden. So the primary idea of this halach is, since he said beischa and sadcha, but kainim ba'yizesh ani nechnas, let's say he doesn't say your house, but he says this house, which obviously is the house that this person lives in right now, but he says this house I'm forbidden as a neder to come in, or sadeh zush ani lekech, or that there's a neder on this field for me to buy it, then meisa shemach la'acha, then if the person dies or sells to someone else, then it's still going to be us, it's going to be forbidden. The reason is because since he said, Bayezeh, this house, so he created this as an object of Isser for him, because nothing to do with his, it wasn't related to the context of that, it was, this house is forbidden, and therefore even if he sells to someone else, it's going to be forbidden. Now the Ram points out an interesting point, that just like when you say, Bayezeh, this house, it makes it more stringent than saying your house, in regards to when he sells it to someone else, meaning, when you sell it to someone else, Bayezeh is still going to be forbidden, whereas Bayezcha is going to be permitted. But actually the same thing is in the reverse, that Bayezcha, your house, is going to be more stringent than Bayezeh, regardless if the house collapses. Because if the person said, your house, I'm forbidden to come in, and then it falls down, and then they rebuild it, it's still forbidden to come into that house, because it's still that person's house, it's your house still. But if he says, this house, and then it collapses, then even if they rebuild it, it's going to be permitted because once it collapses, it's not that house anymore, and therefore then it would be permitted. So the halacha is not just a stringency in Bayezeh, it would also be a leniency. Now the Gemara brings the following question in regards to clarifying this halacha of our Mishnah, which was from the previous daf of Memheimed Beis. The Gemara asks the following question, Ibailu, regarding the halacha of our Mishnah, benodru pligi. The way the words were said in our Mishnah, it said hashutafin regarding partners, shenadru hanozemizeh. Hanadru is, it means to say that each one took a neder, forbidding him from the other partner. Now, on that the Gemara wonders, hidiruzeh, what would the halacha be if it wasn't that each one said, I don't really like you anymore. Your stuff is forbidden to me. And he says, you know what? Your stuff is forbidden to me. Let's say it's not that way. Let's say it's that he said, you're forbidden to have enough from me. Meaning everyone made not himself forbidden on the other one, but made the other one forbidden to have enough from him. What would the halacha be in such a case? As the Gemara explains the question, do we say, their whole machlekes was only regards when each one is making the other one's forbidden on him. But when each one's making the other one forbidden on him, maybe the Rabban agree to Rabbi Ben Yaakov, that actually it would be permitted for them to enter. Why? because then each one would be considered like an einus, which was something that was placed upon him against his will. In other words, that maybe, as the Ran explains, that everybody holds, even the Tanna Kamma, that there is the halacha of yesh breira. And therefore, me'ikra din, when each one is nodir hanoa zemizeh, they should be permitted to go into the field, because the concept of breira says that when I'm in the field, it's 100% mine and not yours. And when you go in, it's 100% yours. But the Rabbanan, who in our Mishnah say that it's asr, is because of a penalty. Because why do you go ahead and say that and make it forbidden on you? So you shouldn't have done that. You're creating problems. So now you can't go in. Whereas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds that, no, that we don't penalize the person. But when each partner made the other one forbidden, where it doesn't apply any penalties, because what do you want from me? I didn't do it. He made me forbidden. So then it would be permitted because of yesh breira. So then everyone would agree, even the Rabbanan, that you could enter to the field. Now, as the Ram points out, obviously this interpretation of this tzad in the Gemara would be not like Ravina, who we said that says in Perek Shosh Nageh Sapara that the machlekes is regarding yesh breira or ein breira. This option of the Gemara is interpreting that maybe that's not what you're arguing about. Maybe they both hold yesh breira, but the Rabbanan hold that we penalize when you took a neder. Why did you take a neder? And therefore, you can't go in. Or the Gemara says, well, maybe a filibidir zeze plig rabbana, or maybe that they argue even when it's not that each one made the other one forbidden on him, maybe even when each one made the other one forbidden on him, which again, the guy doesn't have any options, but it doesn't make a difference because the rabbanan hold like Ravina that hold ein breira, so even if the other one caused it to you, it doesn't make a difference. Ein breira says we don't know whose is whose, and therefore you can't go into the field at all. So the Gemara says, Tashma, let's prove it from our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah then said a second case. If only one of them was forbidden as a neder from the other one. And so, we had the same machlekes, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and the Rabbanan, that the Rabbanan wanted to say that it's going to be aser. Now, as the Ram points out, generally the term of mudr, it says, mudr is generally the subject of a neder that a madr made, meaning that someone else made him forbidden. So therefore we see that even when one partner made the other partner forbidden, that still the Rabbanan say that it's going to be Asr, even though it's Anusin. Obviously the Rabbanan that say that it's Asr is because of the concept of Ein Breira. So therefore it's not just in the case of Nadr Hanam Zemizah. The Rabbanan would hold, even if Madira Zebizah, even if each one makes the other one forbidden, that it's not their fault, it doesn't make a difference, because their principle is based on, like Ravina had said, of Ein Breira, because you can't retroactively clarify. And that the Gemara rejects the Raya. Because Tnei Nodr Mechaver Hano, you should learn that instead of saying Mudr, that one of them was Mudr Hano Mechaver, you should learn that one of them was Nodr Mechaver Hano, that he had made the Nedr himself. Now actually, the Ran says that what the Gemara means to say is not to change the wording. You could leave in Mudr, but that Nodr, you could also call him Mudr, because when someone is the subject of a Nedr, that he's the Mudr, it's whether he made it or someone else made it. He's still called the mudr, even if he's the neider. So therefore, it's not a raya, because that second case could be that the one of the two partners, that's the only one forbidden. It's not that the other partner made him forbidden. Maybe the other Rabbanan would agree that then it would be permitted to go inside because it wasn't his fault, and therefore we can't penalize him. And because they hold yesh breira. And the reason is because although it says mudr, doesn't mean the other partner did it. It can mean he did it to himself. And actually, the Gemara says, actually, it's logical to say that. Because the Ketani Sefer, the end of that halacha says, regarding when one of the partners and not both partners are forbidden, the Mishnah concludes on that halacha, and we actually force the one who's forbidden in the neder to sell his part, as we explained, because he's going to be jealous, and then it's going to cause him to violate the neder. Now, on that, the Gemara says, Iyamid Bishlemid Nadar Hu. If it's like the way we just rejected the Raya, that actually it's not the other one who made him forbidden. He made himself forbidden, although it says the word muda, we said that he could be his own mudr. So hainu diktani kaifin, that would make sense why the Mishnah tells us the halacha is that we force him because he caused it to himself. So now that it's causing a predicament where he might come to violate the nether because of jealousy, and you brought it on yourself, so it makes sense why we would force him. But Eli'i Amr to Adre, but if we say that's talking about where the other partner made him usher, then that might even noise. Why would we force him? That's definitely not fair. Any partner who wants the other partner out could just make a neder and force out the other partner, Hamenas Onus. What do you mean? He was forced into this predicament because the other one had made it. And therefore, it's logical to say that it was when he himself made the neder himself. And although he used the word mudar, it really means nader, because the person himself can make himself the subject of the neder. And therefore, it's not a raya. We could say that actually the Rabbanon hold yesh breira. And the reason why they hold that you can't go in is because of a penalty. But really, if it was madirai achar, then they would be permitted to go into the field. Now, actually, the Ran asks that how do we understand this rejection of the raya by proving that we force the neider to leave and sell his portion? And then the Ran actually asks that, wait a second, let's say it is talking about that madir chaver, that it's one partner who's making the neder against the other partner. And then we could actually explain, like we wanted to say, that it's because Rabbanu hold ein breira, as Ravina explains over there. And that's why it would apply not just by Nadr HaNo'azimizah, even Madir HaNo'azimizah. Now, but when the Mishnah says that we Koifin Es HaNoider, we force the one who made the Neder to leave, to sell his portion, it's actually the Madir. The Madir made the Neder against the Nadr, against the Mudar, so he's the Noider. Yes, because he made the Neder against the other person, which will cause this predicament about the Mudar being jealous and maybe violating the Neder. Since he made the problems, we send him out. And not like how we thought that it means the mudar, which that wouldn't be fair. So that the Ran says that the Gemara doesn't think that it would make sense to force the one who made the neder to sell his own portion because he made the other person forbidden to have enough from his part. But what does make sense to the Gemara is that if someone himself made a neder, making him forbidden on the other person's part of the field, that definitely we should force him to sell his field. Because what do you gain by making yourself forbidden on someone else's part? And therefore we should be concerned that you're going to be nikshon, you're going to stumble, and you're going to end up violating the neder. Whereas someone else, it makes sense. Why? I don't want you to have from me. I don't like you anymore. But why would one person make himself forbidden on someone else? You're not really gaining anything. And therefore, we said that it makes more sense in that type of a way. And therefore, there's no raya, because since it makes sense to say that it's the nader himself, the one who made the nader, is the one who's making himself aser. Again, therefore, then it could still be that the Rabbanan agreed to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov that yesh breira, but the reason why is only when you nader nozim is that because of a penalty. But when it was actually madiroi, then maybe it would be that they would hold, again, not like the way Ravina, the way we described it, but rather they would hold that then you could be nichnasin el asada. Now the Gemara continues, And is now magdir this machlekes, that qualifies the machlekes of the Tanakhama and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So Amar Rabba, Amar Zeiri, as we continue on to Amar Beis. Machlekes, this machlekes between the two of them, is sheyesh bo kedei chaluka, is when there is enough in this field, or it's the type of field that could be split, although they bought it in a partnership, not every partnership lasts forever, that they could then go their own ways, and you take 50% and I take 50%. Now, therefore, since it's talking about such a case, that's why the Rabban hold that it's going to be usur for any of them to enter into the field. And the reason is because they hold, as we explained, ein breira. Now, the ramifications is, according to this interpretation of the Gemara, is that we don't say that retroactively it's clarified that when each partner used the field, that then 100% of the actual field itself is acquired to him, because since this is the type of field which could be split up, and that was the understanding when they bought it together, so therefore it's not clarified that each one can use that part of the field, because maybe that part of the field is not going to end up being his part. So you can't say that when they bought it, this was an understanding that 100% is going to be mine, because you can't say that, because we understood that at some point in time, 100% for sure might not be yours, because we might end up going splitting it. Now, so therefore the Rabban said that here it doesn't apply to say yesh breira. Whereas Rabbi Elazar held that no, even in such a case you'll say breira, because originally when they bought it, that was their understanding when they bought it, that as long as they didn't yet split it, so then 100% of the field will be for each one when he's using it. Now, however, aval ein bo kedei chaluka, divrei hakol mutar, according to this first interpretation of the Gemara. But if it's a type of field that can never be split up, there even the Rabbanan agree that it is going to be permitted for them to enter into the field. And the reason being is because since there's no way of splitting up this field, And this was known that this field will always remain as a partnership. And moreover, is that each one of the partners have permission to use this whenever they want to use it. So there, everybody agrees that we will say yesh brer, even according to the Rabbanan. Now the reason for this is because since the majority of this utility of this field was already verified at the time when they bought it, because we know that it's going to be, you're going to use it one day, I'm going to use it one day. Now, we just don't know which day you're going to use, which hour I'm going to use. That's considered like a minority of retroactive clarification, not in the essentialism of the object. Like when you have a get, as we explained in the previous daf, that how the Ran clarified why this doesn't contradict the halacha that we paskin ein brera. And here we're saying yesh brera, where we end up paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, is because this is not such a severe yesh brera. It's a very light yesh brera, because all you have to do is clarify. We already knew it's like a timeshare. We just didn't know what timings those are. Okay, now we know that when you're using it, that was what we had made up and retroactively clarified. Now it's 100% yours at those timing. So on this first interpretation of the Gemara is that their whole machlokes was only if it's a field that could be split up. So therefore, the Rabbanan say, oh, then you can't say yesh brera. Because what does that mean? How can that mean that 100% is going to be mine if at some point it might even be split? Now, but whereas Rabbi Elazar holds that no, as long as it wasn't split, then you still have that concept of yesh brera. But if it's a field that can't be split, then we always knew it's going to be like this: you, me, you, 100%. Whoever's using it, it's theirs for that time, and therefore the Rabbanan would agree that in that case, that even though they took a neder one from the other, they could enter into the field. Now, on Amalei, Rabbi Yosef asked on this interpretation. He says, wait a second. Harbeis HaKnesses, let's picture a shul. The Kamisha Ein B'Kedei Chalukah Dami. A shul is qualitatively like something that cannot be split up, because everyone has a share. The whole community has a share in the shul. And therefore, it's never going to be split up. Yet, Utsna, we learn in the Mishnah later on, Daf Mem Zayin Mabeis, that says that Shnehen, both of these people that made a neder forbidding each other, are asurin b'davar shelo yaseir. Now, because of that, they're forbidden to use things from the city which everybody owns, because it comes out when one partner uses it, he's also having enough from that other partner who's part of the community. Now, on that, the Gemara explains on Mem Chesem and Aleph that what are these things that are things of the city? It's, for example, like the shul. The shul is something that both partners have a shir in, so if a person's forbidden as a neder to have enough from the other person, inclusive of that is a shul. Now, therefore, the Gemara's question is that if you say that a chatzir that doesn't have a din of chalukah is where they do argue, as Rav Yis is going to say, and as we had explained in the Mishnah, then you could say that who is the tana of that Mishnah? That's going like Rabbanah, who say that it's asir, even if it's a field that will never be split. But if it's like your interpretation that by a field that will never be split, which is exactly like what a shul is, then everybody holds going to be mutter, because there it's a very light type of retroactive clarification. We know it's always going to be you, me, me, you. So then the question is, then who is the Mishnah like? If you're saying even the Rabbanan from our Mishnah hold that it's going to be mutter, and yet that Mishnah says it's going to be aser. So Ella Amar Rabbi Yosef Amaziri. So rather Rabbi Yosef gives a different interpretation in the Halacha of Ziri, and he says, no, Machlaikis is She'em B'Kadei Chaluk. It's the other way around. The Machlaikis was when it's a field that can never be split. And that is the Rabbanan hold that even in such a case, you say Ein Brera. Because ultimately, even though it's a very light Brera, because we know it's never going to be split, so it's me or you or me, and it's going to have to be that sometimes me, sometimes you, but still we don't know what timing and when it's going to be, so it still has to come out to retroactive clarification, which Rabbanan do not hold of. Whereas Rabbi Elazar holds that no, that since it's not possible for any one of the partners to hold back the other partner from utilizing the field, and neither can they force them to split it because it's a type of thing that's never split. So when they bought it with that understanding that you're gonna, I can't stop you from using the field, and you can't stop me. So what does that mean? But isn't it mine and half yours? That it's 100% yours when you use it and 100% mine when I use it. And therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds that when each one of the partners use it, so retroactively it's clarified that when we had bought it, for this moment, it was going to be yours, and for that moment, it was going to be mine. Now, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds that although, generally, as we paskin elsewhere, that the halacha is actually ein brera, but that's what Rabbi Yosef is explaining in his interpretation of Zairi, such a case, we're going to say yesh breira, and the reason being is because the primacy of this acquisition was clarified from when they had bought it together, which they knew it's going to operate based on this mechanism. It's just one particularity of that, which is what timing it's going to be, that we didn't know, but that you could say yesh breira for. But avo yesh b'kadei chaluka, but if there, it's a type of field that could be split up, Dibrakal also, that Rabbi Yisrael said that everybody, even if Lez Ben Yaakov is going to hold, that if they each met in there, they're forbidding each other, that then they're not going to be able to go into the field. And the reason being is because since such a field stands to be split, so then you can't say that when they boarded with that intention that each one, when he's going to use, is going to be 100% his. Because, you can't say that for sure, because maybe one of the partners is going to force the other one to split it. And therefore, in such a case, even Lez Ben Yaakov is going to hold that it's going to be us, because since he can force him, so you can't say that forever we knew that this is going to be how it's going to be, that each one's going to have 100% of it, because maybe at one point they're going to split it, and it's going to be only 50% his, and 50% his. And therefore, Rabbi Yisrael says that that is the case where everyone would hold its usur, and hence, as we explained in the Mishnah already, the case that they do argue about is a case of she'im b'kadei chaluka, that it's a type of field that can't be split like a shul. And therefore, again, the opinion of the Mishnah Mem Zayim Beis regarding the Beis HaKnesses was going like the Rabbanon, who hold in a something that she'im b'kadei chaluka, and each one is forbidden to enter into the field. Now the Gemara concludes this discussion. Amar Rav Huna, halacha like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, halacha follows like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, which again, according to the interpretation of Rav Yosef, is that when it's a sadeh she'im b'kadei chaluka, then it's going to be permitted to go in. But if it's yesh b'kadei chaluka, there everyone agrees, even Elazar ben Yaakov, that it's going to be aser, because you can't say even based on breira, since we paskin generally aim breira, for a light breira, it only works if it's aim b'kadei chaluka. But if it's yesh b'kadei chaluka, you can't say that we knew for sure that you're going to have 100% all the time to say that the primary kinyan we had an understanding, because maybe at one point they're going to split it. And the chen number of Lazar, Sotra B'Lazar says, halacha is k'rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Now the Mishnah said a different case. Hamudr hanoam mechaveroi b'yesh le'sham merchetz b'chulu, if someone takes a neder forbidding himself to have a no from this other person, and that other person has a bathhouse or an olive press in the town, but it's rented out to somebody else. So that the Mishnah said, it depends if the original owner who's leasing it out to someone else still has a sharehold in that bathhouse. If he does, then he still is a part, and he still has some part in it. Therefore, the mudr is forbidden. If he doesn't, since it's totally leased out to someone else, then they can use the bathhouse and the olive press. Now, that the Gemara wonders, v'kama tfisas yad, how much is considered that he still has a sharehold in that bathhouse to say that it's forbidden for the mudr to use that bathhouse? So, Amar Rav Nachman, he says, lemechza l'shlish ul'raviyah, which is the term that's used to say that he gets either half of the profits, a third of the profits, or a quarter of the profits. In other words, that since the owner gains according to the profits of whoever uses the bathhouse, so then we still see him as a partner, which he really is if he's getting shares in the profits, and therefore then it would be considered still the mader's, and therefore the mudr, the one who's forbidden for another, would not be able to use that bathhouse. But if it's less than that, then it's already considered too insignificant to be considered a real shareholder. That wouldn't be considered tfisas yad, and then it would be permitted for him to use the bathhouse or the olive press. Now, actually, the gears of the Ran is not bebatzer, but instead of a resh, it's actually a mem sofit, a endemem, which is, but for the eggs, it's permitted. Now, this, according to Rishonim, that the Beitzim actually means to say it was clay, which was shaped like an egg, which the owner of the bathhouse would sell these eggs, which were used to dry out and make vessels out of them. They would sell them in the bathhouse. Whoever would come there would come and purchase those eggs over there. Now, therefore, he's saying that if the owner of the bathhouse, who's leasing it out to someone else, he doesn't have any gain of the utility of the bathhouse itself, but the only thing he left over rights for himself is that he says, but I want to be able to sell these eggs over there. That's what Rav Nachman is saying, that it's going to be permitted for this mudr to use the bathhouse, because since he doesn't have any share in the bathhouse itself, which is bathing over there and the utility of whatever he's using over there, he just keeps himself a right to sell something over there. That's not considered that he still has tfisas yad in the bathhouse proper, and that's why the mudr in such a case would be permitted to use the bathhouse. Now that Abaye Amar, he argues, he says, no, afilu b'batzer aser. even if it's less than a half or a third or a quarter, or like the Girsa of the Ran, even if he just keeps himself the rights of selling eggs, it's going to be forbidden because that's still considered Tfisas Yad. He still has a share in this bathhouse. It's not totally removed from him. It's not totally leased out because he still sells these eggs, or he still gets even a hundredth of the profits. Now, so Heichidami Deshari, so what would be the case which the Mishnah is saying is permitted, that it's considered that he doesn't have a Tfisas Yad, is the Mekabel B'taska. He's talking about when he doesn't get any share of the profits of the bathhouse. It's just that they pay him a set amount for the leasing. In such a type of a case, so that we consider the owner totally removed from the bathhouse, because for all practical purposes, he has nothing in this bathhouse. It's like owned, so to speak, by the renter for this time period, because he paid him and you get nothing with this bathhouse. Then is when we say that he doesn't have a Tfisas Yad, then the Muddah would be permitted to use this bathhouse, although it's owned by that Madr, but since he has nothing to do with the operations, and he has nothing, not selling eggs, not getting any part of the profits, he just gets paid for the leasing, then it's going to be permitted. Now, the Ram points out, when we analyze this sugya, that the question is, even in such a case, the question is, why is it mutter? And the reason being is because, ultimately, the owner of the bathhouse, that although he's leasing it out, he actually could actually make the bathhouse forbidden, even on the renter himself. As the Gemara says in Masechtas Irchin Daf Chof Alef Amud Alef, that if, let's say, someone leases out his house to his friend, the same type of a case, he's just getting paid for the lease, and then he's makdish his house, he says his house should go to Hekdish, so the halacha is that whoever's living in that house, whoever's renting the house, has to pay now to Hekdish. And the reason is, as the Gemara there explains, is that we're talking about, since the leaser, the one who owns it, was makdish it, so now he has to start paying his rent to Hekdish because Hekdish takes effect. So therefore, we see that he could make it forbidden on the renter. Where the Gemara discusses, if it's Hekdish, then isn't it Me'ila? How is he living there? But the point is that it takes effect to Hekdish. And the reason being is because since he owns the actual property. So therefore, the question is that if he could make it forbidden on the one who's renting it from him, he definitely can make it forbidden on other people. So the question is that even when there's no Tfisas Yad, why is it going to be permitted? So the Ran brings a whole discussion, as he calls it, Pilpul HaRishayim, the Rishayim, different opinions that discuss this question. And he says that I wonder regarding the need to actually answer this question, because he says that the halacha is that even when a person rents something out to somebody else, that as long as the madr, the one who made the neder, doesn't have a sharehold in that, let's say, bathhouse or house, that it's permitted for the mudr to utilize, as our Gemara says, the bathhouse and the olive press that the madr has rented out in the city. And the reason being is because even though, as we're asking from the Gemara in the Erichin, that most definitely the masker, the one who's leasing it out, could make his bathhouse or his house forbidden on the one who's renting it from him. And however, the Ran says that is only if he's actually making it forbidden on the renter, or if he's making it forbidden on everybody, which would include the renter. And the reason being, as we had explained, because Koinamais could be mafkia from Shibud. And therefore, although there's obviously a Shibud, a lien of the renter that's on this bathhouse, but the Koinamais, the Hekdish or the Neder that he's doing, which is similar in that sense of like Hekdish, could remove the lien that the renter has. And therefore, he can make it forbidden on him. But the Ran says, but to make the bathhouse forbidden on just someone else, that he can't do. And the reason being is because since he's not making it forbidden on the renter, he's just making it forbidden on this other person. So the lien of the renter is still existent. So therefore, when this mudr is having hanah from this bathhouse, he's not having pleasure from the madr, he's having pleasure from the renter, because the renter is the one that, for all practical purposes, he's the owner in this sense, because the madr has nothing to do, he has no tfisas yad. Now, although he could make it forbidden on the secher, but as long as he doesn't, he has no rights over here to make anything forbidden, and therefore he can't make it forbidden to the mudr. The mudr is not having a no from him, the mudr is having a no only from the seicher, and since the seicher is not forbidden, and the koinim wasn't mafkia that shibud, so that shibud rules, and that's why it's going to be permitted. And that's why, as we had alluded to this on the beginning of the daf, the Ran says that when the Mishnah said that if someone from the marketplace was mudr in hana from one of the two partners, so the Mishnah said that according to Tanakama, he cannot come into the courtyard, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said that he could, and he could say, I'm coming into that other partner who I'm permitted to, but not into your part of the field. So on that we had explained that, it seemingly according to the Tanakhama, there's no chiddush whatsoever. Because if the one person who can make a neder on the other partner, for sure he can make it on some random person. On that, the Ran's saying now that no, it's not just for the chiddush of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov that the Mishnah quoted that halacha, but it was actually saying a chiddush even according to the opinion of the Rabbanan. The reason being is because we would have thought to say that although the Rabbanan hold that one partner can make his field, his sheared field, forbidden on the other partner, that's only because the kainim, the neder, will be mafkia, the shibud of the other partner on that other partner, as we explained, because each, according to Rabbanan, each person owns 50% and has a shibud on the other 50%. But for some random person from the marketplace, we would think to say that he cannot make the field forbidden, that again, that doesn't have a din chalukah, to make it forbidden on the other person. Because that random person could say, wait a second, since the shibud of your partner is still on you, so therefore I'm going into his part and not into your part. Similar like we say over here regarding this mudr who's allowed to use this bathhouse because he's going into the seicher's part, who has a shibud on you and not, I'm not having enough from you. And therefore the same thing should apply, even according to Rabbanan, in when there's this halacha of echad min ashuk forbidden to one of the partners, since the other partner has a shibud on you, I'm going into his field, not into your field. And that is what the chiddush of the Mishnah, according to Rabbanan, is saying, that since the madr, one of the two partners, has a ownership in, obviously, 50% of the field, in the actual physical body of the field, and in the payris, which is obviously like no less than the Tzvi Sisyad, he has a 50% sharehold in this field, that is why the Echad Min Ashuk doesn't have any rights to say that he's going to that person's field and not to your field because of the shibud that he has, because as we explained in our Mishnah, although that makes sense when there's no Tzvi Sisyad, but when there is a Tzvi Sisyad, then he's still a partner in this merchatz or the Beis Abad, and then the person, the Buddha, would not be able to have enough from it. Same thing is in the halacha of our Mishnah, according to Rabbanan, when there's two partners, the one who made the neder has at least a 50% share in that field, and therefore that other random person, according to the Rabbanan, who hold Ein Breira, cannot come in to the field.